Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Hey, this is Erica Combo, and you're listening to Crosstalk Radio with Big Pudge and Steph Swig, where the talk is real and raw.
Talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephant in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Crosstalk Radio.
Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan, all the way to the Netherlands.
We coming through like it's season two. Hit you with the crosstalk, yeah, you know how we do. Changing the world one show at a time. We the salt of the earth, bringing light to your mind. Universal conversations. We appreciate the love we got back from every nation. Really, it's an honor that y'all listen to us. Cause Big Pudge and Steph Swig will give it to you. Transparency, spiritually, life lessons and politics, the ultimate creed. What I'm saying ain't no boundaries. When we at this table, bringing awareness to the things we see. So rest yourself and enjoy the show. You're guaranteed to be intrigued by this Crosstalk Radio.
Oh, oh. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
This is your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Always,
all day,
always,
every day. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the love. Thank you for all those who tuned in on Facebook Live. We got a dope show ahead of us today. We're talking about the origins of Easter. It's the only show we haven't done origins of. We've done origins of Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving. Was it
Christmas,
more?
Thanksgiving.
I feel like I'm missing one. Halloween. There's another one. Oh, Valentine's Day. That's the other one.
Yeah,
so all of them all have dope histories and history that you typically wouldn't think would be associated with these holidays especially based on how we celebrate them today. So, of course, you know, me and Pudge got, we went, did our research. He's super excited about it. I'm kind of excited about it. And, you know, we might have some things we disagree on. That's fine. Either way, we're going to give you the information that we got.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I'm ready, man. What you want to start off with,
No, you can. Okay. Well, I guess we need to start off with, you know, where the origin of it. I mean, that's the...
Ooh, okay, so I want to do this two ways.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you got the Christian version of it, and I want to go where the Christian version of it comes from, because a lot of people understand it's a Christian holiday, mm-hmm. but what people don't understand, the original Easter wasn't a Christian holiday, like most holidays, actually, like all holidays that we celebrate.
All holidays
that we celebrate, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Thanksgiving, they all started out with something totally different before we Christianized it.
Yeah, most of them start off as pagan holidays that the early church pretty much tried to convert a pagan holiday and make it similar to something symbolic to Christianity just to try to get people to convert them over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understandable, you know, the reason why. Like paganism... I want to say it was the original, you know, religion. I may be wrong about that. However, it's definitely way before Christianity. Like, Christianity came into play hundreds of years, like, after paganism. So that's almost like somebody coming with a brand new religion in 2019. You know, you're going to be looking at folks kind of crazy, like religions and... history has already been established, like there is nothing new. So this is kind of like the mindset of pagans. So when, you know, the early church came in, they would always find whatever pagan holiday would be coming up, because a lot of people still were pagans, and they would choose a holiday and kind of make a comparison to Christianity and then call it that. So that's where Christmas, I don't really know about Halloween, Easter.
Halloween definitely.
Halloween, yeah, okay. Thanksgiving. That's where those, you know, holidays come in at. Something similar to a pagan holiday where early Christians converted it on into, you know,
mainstream Christianity in a sense. And also, although it's not biblical, again, I always tell you this, we always tell you, what you do is what you do.
Right.
You celebrate what you want to celebrate, but you make sure you have, make sure it's clear with your Holy Spirit, your conscience. If you're not saved, if you feel okay doing it, do it. If you're not, don't do it. It's simple. You know, you can't always follow the masses in certain situations, any situation for that matter. But for me, it's like with any holiday, even if it started out as pagan, when Christianity took over it or smothered it, you still had the pagan traditions that come in with it. Simple. So either way, without further ado, Pudge, I'm going to start reading. Well, you want to... Do the pagan version or the Christian version first?
Well, we need to get a pagan version first so they can understand where like Christianity came in and started taking over.
So let me turn to the pagan section of my notes.
He made it sound so raunchy. Like it's so, this is the horrible, disgusting side of my notes.
Yo, what up, Nicole? Yo, when y'all tune in on Facebook, make sure y'all
give a shout out. Give a shout out.
We'll shout y'all out. That's what I'm trying to say, Pud. Let us know the city you rocking from, and we'll shout you out each and every time.
All right.
So anyway, you want...
Go ahead.
Okay, so let me go back to the pagan, all the way back to the... So I got Passover section, pagan sections. All right, here we go. The origin of Easter from pagan festivals to Christianity. All right. Well, it turns out that Easter actually began as a pagan festival celebrating spring in the Northern Hemisphere long before the advent of Christianity, so therefore it predates Christianity. Since prehistoric times, people have celebrated the equinoxes and the solstice as sacred times. The spring equinox is a day where the amount of dark and the amount of daylight is exactly identical, so you can tell that but that you emerge from winter because the daylight and the dark have come back into balance. People map their whole lives according to patterns of nature. Following the advent of Christianity, the Easter period became associated with the resurrection of Christ, but in the first couple of centuries after Jesus' life, the church was attached to old pagan festivals. So spring festivals with the theme of new life, relief from the old winter, became connected explicitly to Jesus having conquered death, being resurrected after the crucifixion. But now we're going to the pagan side, for real. Most historians, including biblical scholars, agree that Easter was originally a pagan festival. According to the New Ergens Bible Dictionary, the word Easter is of Saxon origin. I know we talked about it.
Yeah.
And it was spelled E-A-S-T-R-A. Estra.
No, it's E-O-R. You're talking about E-O-S-T-R-E?
No. It's the different versions, man. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I saw that one, too. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, E-A. I got you. There's like four different ways.
I think you would pronounce that one Estra.
Yeah.
The one I'm talking about.
Okay.
And she was the goddess of spring in whose honor sacrifices were offered about the Passover time each year. By the 8th century, Anglo-Saxons had adopted the name to designate the celebration of Christ's resurrection. However, even among those who maintain that Easter has pagan roots, there is some disagreement over which pagan tradition the festival have emerged. So they got different, of course, with Easter, there's different pagan connections. Like some people say it's from this one. Some people say it's from that one. From different countries. You want me to keep going?
I want to give them a scholar by the name of Beatty. I believe I'm saying his name right, B-E-D-E. He attests solely by Beatty in the 8th century work in his book, The Reckoning of Time, where Beatty states that during Ethiobrium, which is the equivalent of April, like you said, the pagan Anglo-Saxon had held feast in Estora's honor, but this tradition had died out by his time, replaced by Christian Pashe month. I think I'm saying it wrong, but it's Pashe in Hebrew. I'm really saying Passover month.
Okay.
As a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. So pretty much this was something that the pagans used to celebrate back in the day. It died out. And then Germans picked it back up after that. And then it kind of like turned into a Christianity thing. Easter has is spelled like Astara.
Go ahead. I found the spellings. We talked about it briefly.
Okay.
It was four different ways it was spelled.
Okay.
But let's say four, it might be five.
I see one. My five, two,
it's
five.
It's
three,
one
four.
Says the story of Ishtar, which is spelled I-S-H-T-A-R.
Right.
There's another one that's the Estra's one I read earlier, which is E-A-S-T-R-E. Mm-hmm. Then it's Ostara, which is O-S-T-A-R-A. And then Ostra spelled like almost like autism, like A-U-S-T-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
Those are different versions, different spells. Real quick, shout out to Nicole Richter. I see you there. I see you. You shout out Kansas in the building, y'all. Kansas. I said, shout out your city. She just put the whole state. What city you in, Nicole? What city you in? You little. What's in Kansas? Kansas City? What else
Little
is in Kansas?
Rock. That's all I know is Little Rock.
Little Rock is in Arkansas.
Arkansas? Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Nicole, so you confuse us all up. You just keep it simple. Shout out the city and the state. But anyway, happy Thursday. You appreciate you tuning in. All right, Push. Go ahead, man.
Ishtar, which is I really want to talk about Ishtar. Well, the fertility goddess that everybody that they honored, like what she stood for, what she was. So, Easter was originally a celebration of Ishtar. Ishtar is an Assyrian and Babylonian goddess of fertility and sex. Her symbols, like the egg and the bunny, were and still are fertility and sex symbols. After Constantine decided to Christianize the empire, Easter was changed to represent Jesus. Mm-hmm. But at its roots, Easter, which is really pronounced Ishtar, is all about celebrating fertility and sex. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to chime in. You're absolutely right. And when it comes to that goddess, her symbol was actually the rabbit. And the theory is, the rabbit was her symbol because of the fertility of rabbits. Her rabbits hump all day. They have lots of babies consistently. So that's where her fertility ties in with that.
It's the birth of, and it says the bunny was also representation of renewal and rebirth.
Yeah.
So when you read about the actual celebrations, they would celebrate for a whole month and people. This is where, well, I've already read where the disrespect comes in that as far as lining this up with the resurrection of Christ. The first disrespect is the fact that she represents fertility, like fertility and sex. Now, yes, we are put on this earth to reproduce. So I can see how someone would be like, you know, God reproduces and all that.
Dude, I was getting ready to say the same thing when you said, that's why I'm laughing, but go ahead.
Oh, but in this instance, we're talking about the resurrection of Christ. Yes, renewal and rebirth. I get it. But she represented sex, meaning the whole month that they would celebrate, it was on, you were, that's the month where you have crazy sex, no matter who it is, no matter how long it is, no matter what. That goes on that entire month. Why? Because it's representation of rebirth and renewal.
I get it. It sounds appealing, be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, now here's the thing. I'm not even saying that there was something wrong with what they did back then. My only issue is that we now because the early church used this as resurrection, it's nothing that she stood for, nothing her honoring stood for, absolutely the bunt, nothing has anything to do with the resurrection of Christ, with him dying, him being beat, him dying, him coming back to life on the third day. They have no comparison whatsoever. The only comparison is that this holiday, pagan holiday, was around the same month, April, that the world said, and that's, which is the same time that Jesus was brought back, came, rose on the third day. So again, in the beginning, they lined up pagan holidays with things that happened in the Word of God, and that's how they try to slick convert people over. So I always look at it like God looks at the intent of your heart. And I always feel like, you know, at the end of the day, he ain't going to punish you because, you know, if the intent of your heart is good. I just always feel like when you come into the knowledge of truth, you should always operate in that truth and not still do what the Romans do because you in Rome now and you actually know the truth.
When you know better, you gotta do better, right? All right, so we're not speaking, like, see, the hard thing is Easter and the resurrection of Christ have been so intertangled, it almost sounds like you're taking shots at
Jesus.
Yeah, in a sense. I'm not, and I know you're not doing
right,
that.
Right, I get it.
But the thing is, I agree with Pudge to an extent. It's like, when it comes to Easter, Easter has nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ, the actual term Easter, because it's derivative of the fertility god, Estra, Ostra, Orstra, whatever you want, however you want to pronounce it. Now, what we celebrate in church on what they call Easter is actually the resurrection of Christ. But however, we all know they got the chocolate bunnies, the Easter egg hunts, the decorated eggs, and that absolutely has nothing to do with Christ. Right. Now, whether it's wrong for you to celebrate that or participate in that or not, that's between you and your God.
Right.
But I'm just going to give you the facts. So, I felt like we already covered the pagan side of it, really. I mean, it's
the pagan side, but let me go a little further into Ishtar. And a lot of what I'm reading is coming from the Wikipedia, so you can look it up yourself. And the other website that I'm on is the Anthropology in Practice website. So Ishtar was the goddess of love, war, and sex, as well as protection, fate, childbirth, marriage, and storms. And this is everything that she represents. So this is what you celebrate. Whether you know it or not, this is what you're celebrating. There's some fertility in there, but as with Aphrodite, there is also an element power. Her cult practiced sacred prostitution. I read that on purpose so y'all can hear that. Where women waited at the temple and had sex with a stranger in exchange for a divine blessing and money to feed hungry children or pay a debt. This is all what she represents. Ishtar symbols were the lion, the morning star, and 8 or 16 point stars. Again, symbols of power.
Wow.
And like just, and I'm gonna stop right there. But
keep going, bro.
Well, the word Esther does not appear to be derived from Ishtar. I mean, the word Easter. But from the German, Eostre, and that's the spelling of Eostre.
That's the goddess
of dawn, a bringer of light. English and German are in the minority of languages that use a form of the word Easter to mark the holiday. Elsewhere, the observance is framed in Latin Pascha. Pascha means Passover. Pascha in Hebrew means Passover. Which in turn is derived from the Hebrew Pesach, meaning or associated with Passover. Ishtar and Easter appear to be homophones that may be pronounced similar but have different meanings. That was it.
So those are pagan origins, and I didn't know that about the prostitution part of it. That was new to me. I knew about the fertility god and the rabbits and the eggs. So from the pagan standpoint, because everybody was all... I've asked this question a long time before I decided to study for myself. I hear people always ask this question, especially the woke Christians, like, how does eggs and rabbits tie into Easter? What's that got to do with resurrection whatsoever?
I've always wanted that since I was a kid.
That's why, but at the same time, I do enjoy the chocolate eggs. I do enjoy the chocolate eggs. But that's how it ties into it, because the eggs are supposed to represent fertility, the rabbits represented spring and renewal, and it was all in celebration to this pagan goddess, the goddess of fertility. So now, let's hear the Christian version. You want to hear the Christian version?
Yes, I definitely want to hear the Christian version.
All right, so here we go. We're going to show you what happened. We'll talk about what happened. I can't show you what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened. And I'm going to do a lot of reading, but, you know, it's the educational one here. We want to dive in for you, give y'all some good information. Y'all tune into our crosstalk to hear some dope information from time to time. Y'all don't just tune in to see me get engaged and everything, you know. I'm glad y'all did.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm talking about it a little bit. But anyway, Easter is a Christian holiday that celebrates the belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, for those who don't know. In the New Testament Bible, the event is said to have occurred 3 days after Jesus was crucified by the Romans and died roughly 30 A.D. The holiday concludes the Passion of the Christ, a series of events and holidays that begin with Lent, a 40-day period of fasting, prayer, sacrifice, and ends with Holy Week, which includes Holy Thursday, the celebration of Jesus' Last Supper with his 12 apostles. Good Friday, which Jesus is the Friday of Jesus' crucifixion is observed. And Easter Sunday, although a holiday of high religious significance in the Christian faith. Many traditions associated with Easter date back to pre-Christian pagan times, of course. Mm-hmm. So now, when it comes to Easter, there is a lot of confusion when it comes to Easter, because you got Palm Sunday, you got Passover, you got Easter itself, and Good Friday. So how does all that tie into Easter? I will tell you. And eventually. So, Easter 2019 occurs on April 21st. However, Easter falls on a different day each year. Mm-hmm. Easter Sunday and related celebrations such as Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday are considered movable feasts. Although in Western Christianity, which follows the Gregorian calendar, Easter always falls on a Sunday between March 22nd and April 25th. And I know why it does that, and I'm going to just keep on reading and give you all more information. In Eastern Orthodox Christianity, which adheres to the Julian calendar, Easter falls on a Sunday between April 4th and May 8th each year. In some denominations of Protestant Christianity, Easter Sunday marks the beginning of Eastertide or the Easter season. Eastertide ends on the 50th day after Easter, which is known as Pentecost Sunday. Mm. All right, so in Eastern Orthodox branch of Christianity, Easter Sunday serves as the start of the season of Pascha,
yeah,
or Pascha, right, is Greek for Easter, mm-hmm, which ends 40 days later with the holiday known as the Feast of the Ascension, also known as Resurrection Sunday.
Right.
All right, so Passover and Easter. Notably, Easter is associated with the Jewish holiday of Passover, as well as the exodus of the Jews from Jesus as described in the Old Testament. These links are clearly seen in the Last Supper, which occurred the night before Jesus' arrest and sufferings Jesus endured during his arrest. The Last Supper was essentially a Passover feast. Mm-hmm. However, the New Testament describes it as being given new significance by Jesus. He identified the matzah, or bread, M-A-T-Z-A-H, mm-hmm, matzah, or bread, he shared with his 12 apostles as his body and the cup of wine they drank as his blood. These rituals would come to symbolize the sacrifice he was about to make in his death, and become the basis for the Christian ritual of Holy Communion, which remains a fundamental part of Christian religious services. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. So, Eastern traditions. In Western Christianity, including Roman Catholicism and Protestant denominations, the period prior to Easter holds special significance. The period of fasting and penitence is called Lent. It begins on Ash Wednesday, and lasts for 40 days, not including Sundays. I didn't know that. I didn't know about the Sundays.
Yeah, me neither.
The Sunday immediately prior to Easter is called Palm Sunday. It commemorates Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem when the followers lay palm leaves across the road to greet him. Many churches begin the Easter observance in the late hours of the day before Holy Saturday in a religious service called Easter Vigil. In Eastern Orthodox Christianity, Easter rituals start the day, the Great Lent, which begins on Clean Monday, 40 days prior to Easter, not including Sundays. This week, the last week of Lent is referred to as Palm Week, and it ends on Lazarus Saturday, the Saturday before Palm Sunday. The Saturday before Palm Sunday. Mm-hmm. Palm Sunday marks the Holy Week, which ends on Easter. So now I'm going to skip around a little bit. I want y'all to understand a few things. So for one, it says Easter egg. What is Easter egg? How does Easter egg tie into the Christian version of Easter, right? Yo, Vince, shout out to Vince, man. Put your city on there, man, so we can shout your city out, man. Appreciate you tuning in. All right, so Easter eggs. Irrespective of any denomination, for me, it doesn't matter which denomination, there are many Easter time traditions with roots that can be traced back to non-Christian and even pagan non-religious celebrations. Examples of non-religious Easter traditions include Easter eggs and related games such as egg rolling and egg decorating. It is believed, like we talked about before, that eggs represent fertility and birth in certain pagan traditions that predate Christianity. The egg decorating may have become a part of the Easter celebration in a nod to the religious significance of Easter, i.e. Jesus' resurrection or rebirth. Many people, mostly children, also participate in Easter egg hunts, but moving on that one. So anyway, so the Easter egg part ties to fertility in one sense. However, when it comes to Christianity version of it, I guess. In many Christian traditions, the custom of giving eggs celebrates, Easter celebrates new life. And it says to remember that Jesus, after dying on the cross, rose from the dead and shown that life could win over death. For Christians, the egg is a symbol of the tomb in which the body of Jesus.
I've never heard that before.
Me either.
But it just sounds like foolishness to me that you're going to compare an egg to a tomb.
Listen, it says, like I said, it's not like they reach and try to, like, okay, we got to make it
Christian. They're trying to make it symbol. Right? We're going to try best to symbolize this. Yeah. So, you know,
so it's supposed to, the symbol of the egg is supposed to, in the tomb, is supposed to represent the body of Jesus was placed while cracking the egg, represents Jesus' resurrection. In the Orthodox tradition, eggs were painted to symbolize the blood of Jesus, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Regardless of the very ancient origins of the symbol of the egg, most people agree that nothing symbolizes renewal more perfectly than the egg.
Round, what?
I'm just telling you what they said. It said round, endless, and full of promise of life, which it makes sense. While many other pagan customs associated with the celebration of spring at one stage practiced alongside Christian Easter traditions and eventually came absorbed in Christianity. We knew that. Mm. As symbols of the resurrection of Jesus, the first Council of Nicaea established the date of Easter as the first Sunday after the full moon. That's how come Easter moves, because it's in conjunction of the full moons.
Right. Okay.
It's not. That's why it's not on one specific Sunday. Right. It's always.
It
like
ain't
last
like
year.
Christmas where yeah. you know it's going to be on that day every year.
In one year, some years it's March, some years it's April. Mm-hmm. So it says they call it a Paschal full moon following the March equinox. Here's what they say at the end. Whether it's observed as a religious holiday commemorating the resurrection of Christ or a time for families in the Northern Hemisphere to enjoy coming in the spring and celebrate with the egg decorating Easter bunnies, the celebration of Easter still retains the same spirit and rebirth. The celebration of Easter still retains the same spirit of rebirth and renewal as it has for 1,000 years. Okay. So now I'm going to take it back to a little bit more. I ain't going to give y'all everything, but I did want to talk about we talked about the spring and renewal, and here's what I want to read right here. Easter, 325 AD, Emperor Constantine convened a meeting of Christian leaders to resolve important disputes at the council. Since the church believed that the resurrection took place on a Sunday, the council determined that Easter should always fall on the first Sunday after the full moon following the equinox. Easter has since remained without a fixed date, but approximate to the moon, which coincide with the start of Passover, so it still ties in the Passover. Mm-hmm. All right, but here we go. The origins of key Easter customs as a Christian. Here we go. The most widely practiced customs, Easter Sunday, relate to the symbol of the rabbit, Easter bunny, and the egg. As outlined previously, the rabbit was a symbol associated with Esther, representing the beginning of springtime. Likewise, the egg has become to represent the spring, fertility, and renewal. And here's the myth right here. In German mythology, it is said that Astara healed a wounded bird and she found in the woods by changing it into a hare, which is another word for rabbit. Mm-hmm. So, still partially a bird, the hare showed its gratitude to the gods by laying eggs as gifts. That's where you had the bunny and the egg coming in. That's why you see on the commercial the bunny be laying eggs, which makes no sense to logical people. Right? So that's where the myth comes from with that. I'm just telling you what it says. But honestly, when it comes to the resurrection, Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, him dying on the cross and rising in 3 days.
See, it's me.
Well, I'm not saying Easter. I mean, I'm resurrection.
Yeah, I was about to say, because, no, that's not what Easter means. Like
him, you got to be specific with him.
You do have to be specific with me.
He don't like calling it Easter. He feel like it's disrespectful. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. And my thing is, now, although I feel like it's disrespectful, I'm not going to walk around preaching and yelling at people. It's disrespectful. No. Like, because here's my take on it. I know the truth, so I choose not to follow that custom because it doesn't represent the resurrection of Christ. Okay. Example, go ahead.
I want to ask you, so when you say you don't follow the custom, what customs do you not follow? You don't do the Easter egg hunt? So you
do, I don't do any of that.
So you don't paint the eggs? You don't
I don't do none of that.
Do you eat Easter candy?
No, I don't do none of that.
So you don't eat any egg shaped candy?
No, none of that. All that's BS. I don't do none of that.
No jelly beans? Nothing?
My kids don't do none of it. And my thing is, I didn't make my kids not do it.
When they find the truth.
I just taught my kids the truth.
Yeah.
And they just choose not to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, and my thing is to like, I'm not, that's why I said earlier that God looks at the intent of your heart. So yeah. I don't want people to think that, you know, you have good intentions. Like here's an example. I know a lot of churches that know this truth, but mm-hmm. they still call it Easter and they still do the Easter egg hunts and stuff like that. And they do it more so for the community mm-hmm. to bring people into the church. So, and that's a good thing. So I'm not saying you wrong for doing that or anything like that, because at the end of the day, God looks at the intent of why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So that's just me. You know, I'm not going to put what I'm not going to put my truth. I'll put my truth on you because it's God's. It's the truth. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to beat anybody up or badger them about, you know, because their church is still doing it or they take time to do it with their kids or whatever the case may be. It's just that personally, when I find truth, some things is easy to stop doing. Some things is challenging to stop doing. I give you an example. Christmas. Do I still put up lights around my house? Yes. I don't see anything wrong with that. Do I do mistletoes? No. Do I do Christmas trees? No. Like early when I was married, we replaced the Christmas tree with a manger. You know, I still buy the gifts for my kids. Now, if you ask me, the things that I still do is still an exact representation of Jesus being born. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought gifts to him when he was being born. Okay, yes, I'm giving gifts to my children. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, to me, that nonsense Step just read about what the egg represents when it comes to Jesus and everything else. It sounded like somebody sat at the table was like, look, Easter is foolishness, and we got to find some kind of way to make a comparison to the resurrection of
Christ. I agree with you on that, but you got to realize Eastern Christianity and our Western version is two different things, in a sense, as far as the tradition that we choose and why we do the traditions.
Right.
But even reading that, though, it does sound like that. And I always thought that was funny, even when I read about Christmas. Like, you know, when it talks about how Christian, because we are, if you listen to our show and you study for yourself, the origin of Christmas actually has nothing to do with Christ at all.
Nothing at all.
But in Christian tradition, I think, well, how does the Christmas tree tie in? And what they said was, because Jesus is the tree of life, that's why we have a Christmas tree.
See, exactly. And to me, that sounds like another human tied in. And again, not mad at how you tying this stuff in. Because, honestly, example would be babes in Christ. To me, I feel like this would be way too much information for a babe in Christ who just came into Christ, and you hitting them with the truth about Easter when they've been hearing what Easter represents all this time. I think that would bring immediate confusion. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, if now, see,
there's a way to do it. So here's what I say. I don't have a problem with them called. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence now about it being called Easter, but since people understand it as Easter more than they understand the Resurrection Sunday, I think they can use that opportunity to teach the truth.
And that's what I do.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking about the church services, though. I hear you.
I'm talking about church services.
No. I don't have a problem with them doing the Easter egg hunts and doing the candy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they should let people know the truth. Like, I think the sermon...
should be what the truth is.
Yeah, the sermon on Easter Sunday at every church, for me, has always been saying, that's why, honestly, I don't go to church on Easter Sunday because I already know the resurrection story
right.
a million times over.
Right.
I honestly think they should do the resurrection story, which it doesn't take long. You don't need a whole sermon on that, really. You don't. Mm-hmm. And also share why we call it Easter and let them know the pagan guys, that's what it's all called, but we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it should be a distinct because when you leave the church, you get hit with people like us telling you, you know, Easter's not a Christian holiday, but you go to church, they say Happy Easter, Easter Sunday, you got all this stuff happening.
Right.
To cut down confusion, I think churches should dig in and share the actual truth of Easter. If you're going to call it Easter, tell people the truth. If you're going to do Christmas, tell people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know why Christians celebrate Christmas. We know why we celebrate what people call Easter.
Right.
Easter is the resurrection of Christ. Christmas is the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. But don't tell people, like, this is why we do it and it's not the truth.
Right. And like, that's what most churches, they do. And I'm not saying that they do it on purpose to try to fool you into something. No, that's typical. It's typical for most preachers to say Easter and, you know, it represents, you know, Jesus dying and coming back on the third day. You know, now I do agree with how Step broke it down even further. Like, because at first I'm saying to myself, I feel like it would be too much for a babe in Christ. But then if I try to give that excuse about the egg representing the tomb and all that, and they actually believe that, and then I got to come back then with the truth some months later.
It's not like it's reaching this to say the egg.
It's a far reach, too. It's a far reach. And, you know, so Steph's version is a whole lot better to where, yes, this is what the world calls Easter, but I'm going to break down to you what Easter is.
Ooh.
Go ahead. But what Easter is, why they connected it to the resurrection, but tell you more so this is about the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah. I even think they can tie that into the scripture where it says, God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You think about that, because every time you see that scripture, you just hear it, But that tells you there's other gods, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but who are these gods? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
But these are the same gods that they talk about, possibly, that we still have their traditions tied into what we call mainstream Christian holidays.
Right.
You know, you got people who don't celebrate. What up, Reggie? I was going to say shout out to the city. We know you're Atlanta.
Douglasville in the house, baby.
Douglasville, baby.
Chantrees, what's up, baby girl?
But that's what I'm saying, man. Uh-huh. It's just like, we know these things. I think it's just to dive deeper. Like, I know who Jesus is. I know who our God is.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible does mention other gods.
Right.
So I still think not that they deserve, but I think those type of topics should be addressed a little bit more than they have been. A lot more, actually.
Yeah, a lot more.
But if you're telling people these holidays are Christian and it has pagan origins or ties or traditions, let people know the truth.
Yeah.
Let people know why we give gifts. Let people know what a Christmas tree comes. Let people know why we do lights. Let people know. I think it's dope. And that way they have the information and they can decide for themselves really with full information, full disclosure on whether they want to participate in those type of activities or not.
Mm-hmm.
But don't have these activities that start out as pagan activities and tell people that these are celebrating Christ or the birth of Christ or his resurrection, and it's
right.
not. That's not the origin.
Right.
Now, that what we do it for now, yeah, great. But let them know the history behind it. That's all I'm saying.
Right, right, right. Because if you, there's a lot of people who feel like they have been misled when they hear something across the pulpit or they hear something from someone in leadership, and then they go find out what they heard was not the truth, and then they hear the truth. It automatically makes you question the leadership at the church, or are you hearing the correct word, or do they even know the truth themselves while they preaching it, or do they know it just chose not to tell it? So it's just always a lot easier to just be truthful in the beginning,
yeah.
So the backlash won't be a repercussion where you're losing somebody. Is that Desiree?
What up, Mr. ATL in the building, checking us out, man. We appreciate you checking us out, man. I got you. I see your message, man. I got you. We got you, bro. Excited about your new album, by the way, too. Anyway, he probably just got on just to say that. He probably ain't watching us for real. But anyway, you know, I'm just clowning with you, man. I forgot what I was going to say. I got a show. Oh, man, what was I going to say?
Desiree, how you doing, sweetheart?
Man, what was I going to say, Puss?
I don't know. My Esvah family is joining in. That's making me happy.
You're talking about the resurrection history.
Pretty much. So I was saying.
I got it. I'm sorry. I got it now.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, and I know how we sounded, because I hear how I said what I'm saying. The church should teach that, and I think they should. However, I think the first and foremost thing is church should teach us to study to show ourselves approved. Because at the end of the day, yeah, I'm not talking about the babes in Christ. Babes in Christ need to be guided and taught and nurtured up. I get that. But I'm saying at the end of the day, we are individual agents who we are actually called to study to show ourselves approved.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know something about the history of something, we got Google these days. We got all kinds of information.
Right.
And it's kind of common knowledge that every Christian holiday we celebrate, it has pagan origins.
Right.
But we are to study to show ourselves approved. So you can't expect your pastor to do this for you on the one Sunday a month that you go to church.
Right.
I mean, one Sunday a week you go to church.
Right.
Or even at Bible study, or even at the Sunday school.
Right.
Do they have Sunday school now?
They still do. And even in Bible studies, man, if you're actually having a real study, like, you're studying to show yourself approved right then and there, but it's supposed to make you, like, want to go home and study even more. And you have pastors that'll tell you on the pulpit all the time, don't believe what I'm saying. Read it yourself. Like go home and reread the scripture yourself, and then further get deeper and dissect yourself into it so you won't just be going off of what it is that I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I do believe there's a large amount of pastors that always implore their flock to, like, read it yourself, go over it yourself. And honestly, when you actually read the word yourself, you'll know when something's being said wrong. Whether it's from leadership, whether it's for somebody out in the street, you'll know, because you studied on your own, and you'll know that, okay, that was taken out of context. Like, I understand the point that he was trying to drive home, but he in the wrong vehicle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
it's the wrong road, because that whole scripture was taken completely out of text for the meaning he was trying to use. But if you don't know no better, you're going to be like, amen, Bishop, Pastor, and you know, just you amen to something completely incorrect.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, the information we just gave you about the holidays, from Christmas to Halloween to Easter to Valentine's Day to birthday. Well, we haven't done birthdays yet. Now, I still celebrate because I enjoy them. I love holidays. Mm-hmm. But growing up, I used to always think, just based on a pure kid standpoint, I thought I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but I would never be one because they couldn't celebrate nothing. Like, they don't get no Christmas, they don't get no Halloween, they don't get no Thanksgiving, nothing. However, as I learned about the pagan origins of the holidays, I do understand as to why they don't celebrate. That's why. Because they all got pagan origins. You got the Hebrew Israelites the black Hebrews who don't celebrate it, and you got certain Christians who don't celebrate it.
Right.
But again, that's still your conviction with the Holy Spirit. I just thought that was pretty interesting because I used to always wonder why they couldn't celebrate. As a kid in elementary school, thinking, that's boring. Y'all got to get out on Saturdays and go tell us about God, and then y'all don't celebrate nothing? Right. Like birthday, nothing?
Y'all celebrate nothing?
We have a cake and go trick-or-treating and for Halloween and Christmas gifts. And like, it's fun. And then the Jehovah's Witness dude sitting in the corner just... But they always seem content.
Yeah.
They never seem like it's a problem. I guess, you raise a child, it should go.
Yeah.
But for me, it seems like it's such a boring thing. But either way, I just thought that was interesting because I realized why they don't celebrate the holidays, because they do have pagan origins and pagan ties. And I understand why people celebrate them. I understand why people wouldn't celebrate them. Yeah. But again, like we say on Crosstalk here, the each is on. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. So I can't convict you. That's up to you. Right. Like I said, I do what I do. Pudge does what he does. And my relationship with God allows me to do certain things and probably won't allow Pudge to do certain things. Right, but that's our relationship.
Exactly. And an example would be a while back, way over a year ago, we was having a conversation where I eat pork and Steph doesn't. And it's our personal relationship where God doesn't, makes him feel some kind of way when he eats pork and I don't. So it's not like I'm not looking at him like he crazy because... he'll eat, and he ain't looking at me like I'm crazy because how dare would I eat pork? Like, it's your own personal relationship with him. And think about this, once you get a relationship with him, a lot of things you hear, you'll just bypass. Like, you'll blow it off, won't make no, and you really can't let everyone know what it is you're into. Like, there's people, man, who've been knowing about tithing. And knowing that that's from the Old Testament, and tithing don't consist of just giving money, but have not said anything.
And if you don't know that, we got an episode just for you on our Crosstalk at Buzzsprout.com. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all check us out. Anyway, go ahead, Pudge.
But that was just an example. That was just an example of a lot of preachers know that, but are not preaching that for multiple reasons. Some reasons I can understand because, you're dealing with humans. And humans do have that whole mindset, I ain't got to give. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to give. I can give up my time. And then, tithes is coming up short, and people not doing what they're supposed to do. So I get it. I get it for real.
Man, that's all I got, Pudge. You got anything?
Nah, I'm good.
So anyway, we still trying to get on iHeartRadio. Until that gets, when that happens, we'll let you know. So, but meanwhile, you can check us out on crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. We're on iTunes, we're on TuneIn, always Crosstalk with a K, KROSS, Crosstalk, baby. Hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you thought about the show. If it's what you want us to talk about, questions, comments, prayer requests, whatever, we're here to serve you, man. Like I told everybody every week, me and Pudge talk like this all the time.
Right.
So this is not just for us. Like, this is for y'all. God told us to do this a long time ago, so we do it for y'all. We in two seasons, 80-something episodes in at this point. We got to be close to 80.
Close. I don't even know. I know 70-something was the last time I checked.
Yeah. I know it was in the higher. Either way, we doing so many episodes, we forget. But make sure you go to us. Like, if you want to hit us up, if you want to check us out, especially because from what I'm finding out, y'all, is that some of our older episodes are not on iTunes or TuneIn. Like, I think they cut off, like, they go to, like, the 10 most recent or something like that.
Oh,
so, but okay. what I'm saying, if you want to check us out, again, crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. It has each and every one of our episodes. But if you don't know how to find that, I'm fine with you hitting us up on Facebook. I'm fine with you DMing me. I'm fine with you hitting us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. And I will send you a personal link with the actual episode that you want to hear. Right. I don't mind doing that. We love our listeners, man. We love our new listeners, old listeners, consistent listeners, all of them, man. Crosstalkers in the building, But anyway, Pudge, you ready to get these shouts, man?
You got them?
Yeah, I got them.
Go ahead.
All right, first and foremost, shout out to my mom, Dorothy Brown, down in Forsyth, Georgia.
Mom, Deuce,
shout out to Brandy.
We
shout
love
out to my
you.
Fiance, Brenda, in the building.
We
shout
love
out
you.
To Tambla. Shout out to November. Shout out to Seren. Shout out to Eric. Shout out to Alicia. We
Alicia
got you. We got
Kines,
you. We got
baby.
You.
We got,
you,
boo.
Shout out to Love Works Studios in the building. Always hit us with the dope sound in the episode. All right, man, we got like 40 cities to shout out, so I'm going to do the best I can to get
okay,
through it, guys.
Get them all out.
Shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia,
right.
Atlanta, Georgia, Rex, Georgia, McMinnville, Oregon, Morrow, Georgia, Oxon Hill, Maryland in the building. That's a first-timer.
Okay.
Crystal Lake, Illinois, Graysonville, Maryland, still rocking with us, baby. Roswell, Georgia, Monochi, New Jersey, Jonesboro, Georgia, in the building, Fayetteville, Georgia, Ellenwood, Georgia, Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hoboken.
I love Hoboken.
Jersey, stand up.
Lassen, South Carolina, Jersey City, North Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey, Lakeland, Florida, Phoenix,
Jersey.
Arizona, Carbondale, Pennsylvania, Meridian, Mississippi, Waltham, Massachusetts, Seattle, Washington, West Coast, baby,
yes.
Congress, Georgia, Salem, Oregon, Anaheim, California, Pleasant Grove, Alabama, Chandler, Arizona, Lithonia, Georgia, McDonough, Georgia. Oh my God, it's a different
McDonough. That's what's up, McDonough?
Yeah. Lansing, Michigan, Burr, Bonias, Illinois, I hope I made that right, y'all. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. Las Vegas, Nevada, Dearborn Heights, Michigan, Melbourne, Victoria, Amarillo, Texas, Brandon, Florida, Somerville, South Carolina, and Mantua, New Jersey. Mantua,
that's
New Jersey.
What's up.
Jersey represents.
Jersey,
you,
stand
Jersey.
Up, baby.
Jersey.
2 weeks in a row.
Yes, yes, baby.
We see you. We see you. Shout Camden in the house, baby.
Yo, thank you for doing that. Because my boy said he knows some Camden dudes, and any Camden dude is extra.
So oh, like, we real extra.
Anyway, I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pun.
Crosstalk
Radio. Peace.